Such like a boomer move. You know, like with those like emails that would circle around.
So classic.
It was like, how do you tell a moron?
Yeah.
Because they voted for Al Gore, and everyone's like,
fucking got his ass.
Some poor times.
Oh boy. Yeah, man, we live in weird times, dude.
We do, but we also live in times where comic book movies are of abundance.
They certainly are.
And everything is of abundance.
And I do love abundance, I gotta say.
There's lots of stuff to watch.
All right, let's do this thing.
All in the cold opening.
Folks, let's use it as the cold open.
I think we should.
Let's use it. I don't mind it.
Me neither.
All right, let's do it. Folks, this is the MCU for Dummies. This is the MCU for Dummies. I'm Ken, dummy number one. That's dummy number two. That's Lewis. We're back. It's been a while. I mean, it's been a while.
Multiverse.
Good old time. I couldn't give you a last date, but it was before Love and Thunder. I'll tell you that.
It was Stranger Things, Obi-Wan, very early Miss Marvels.
And it was before very early Stranger Things finale.
Correct. It was in between one and two. Obi-Wan was kind of chugging along. and the boys, I had only seen the first two episodes. And Miss Marvel was only, I think, one episode that I saw. And I was of the opinion that it was some good stuff.
Yeah.
So
we've got a lot, though, Lou. I mean, that all said, we've got a million things. Obviously, Comic-Con just happened. We will get to all of Phase 5 and 6 in a little bit. There's still plenty of stuff beforehand to talk about. We've got Lou mentioned the boys. We mentioned Stranger Things. We mentioned Star Wars. We're close now to Andor coming to the screen as well. Lou, what's not on the agenda, which I'm writing down now, is we're also very close to the Lord of the Rings series on Amazon.
Ooh,
close to the new Game of Thrones prequel on HBO as well.
To go that way, I agree. I follow a lot of these fantasy booktubers, and they cover those types of topics. And if you are into animation or fantasy adaptions for either movie or Netflix, there is so much coming out over the next couple of months and years that it's all a very exciting time. I feel like it helps because in a world where we have the big stinker of how Game of Thrones ended and now the new remake, it's helpful to have that type of stuff take away from, I think, what's going on with MCU and some of the Disney Plus shows, such as Star Wars. So the more the merrier is how I feel about it.
So, Lou, let me give you the big four titles that are coming out very soon. And you tell me in your heart where they rank. Okay? Let me get the Andor release date, because I think it's soon. Yeah, August 31st. So moving from like August, September, like in that area, we're going to get Andor, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, and She-Hulk. Give me your 1, 2, 3, 4. What are you most excited for?
Andor, I'm most excited for because there's 12 episodes. So I think that's a standout. I'm going to put She-Hulk last.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just think that I'm very tired of Marvel Phase 4, which we're going to get into towards the end of the MCU segment. But Marvel Phase 4 has been like a lingering party sandwich. Like, it's there. I'm happy it's there. As the night progresses, you know, you have something to eat.
You need the bowl.
But I'm just like, I'm just like, all right, enough. Like, when is the big pivotal moment going to come to then tell us a new story? It's very character driven, and I think She-Hulk's going to be a lot like that. Very similar, I would say, to Miss Marvel, where it's just a nice character story. There's cousin Bruce Banner in there. There's a lot of feel good stuff. But to be honest, I'll probably watch the first episode and then I'll wait until the next three come out, and then I'll binge those, and then I'll watch the final two just in one setting. So that's my 1 and 4. I then have to say the second one's probably Game of Thrones, because I want to see, given the same amount of budget and HBO involvement, and I think some of the people are also involved from a construction level, I want to see if they can save the franchise and if they can give it a bit more Actually, I'm lying because I'm gonna put that third. The second one I'm gonna say is Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings is like established content. We have the story from the Tolkienverse. We don't have the full story from George R. R. Martin. He's taking his sweet time there. So I think with the second pick being the Lord of the Rings series, I'm very excited for a well-deserved effort to flesh out more of these stories that I think are there. And I think that it's a much better opportunity to launch off creatively than Game of Thrones, which is, I think, a bit still wishy-washy.
Interesting.
So I was all over the place. But I guess to summarize, Andor,
I feel similarly.
Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, She-Hulk, in that order.
Okay. It's fascinating. I feel the way you feel about Game of Thrones, I feel about Lord of the Rings. I am, first off, I don't think Amazon is going to do very well with it. They've done very, I don't know if that's necessarily a good take, and I'll like criticize myself here. They've treated The Boys with tremendous respect. Like, that show rocks. We all know how I feel about The Boys. Invincible was great, right? They've put together some good stuff. It just feels very Chris Pratt Tomorrow War to me. You know, like, it feels not great.
Amazon Prime produces Wheel of Time adaptation, has a very strong fan base. They will watch the show, but they are not that overall happy about its production quality. So I'm wondering if it's going to be one of those. But
even the trailers, the trailers haven't looked very good.
Interesting.
Like, the effects have not looked great.
I thought the trailers were very sensational. Like, they're trying to, like, wow you.
Yes. Yes.
Like, oh my God.
I have to say, I forget the name of what they are. They're like the hoplites or the whatever they are. They're not hobbits. They're like the pre-hobbit. Don't care. This is, you know me, Lou. I don't like prequels. I think prequels are creatively stifled. I think prequels are easy. I think prequels are money grabs, and I don't like it. I feel similarly to the Game of Thrones thing. However, it seems like a fun story, and I'm excited what they can do with such a large budget, because that production value on Game of Thrones was out of this world. So if they can pull that off in the House of Fire or whatever it's called, that's going to be really cool. So if I'm giving them an order, I'm excited for Andor because we already know there's going to be a season two. Rogue One is probably my favorite Star Wars movie, canonically. Like, love that film. Really great characters. Andor's fun. Love it. So Andor is my number one. I would say Game of Thrones is probably my number two, just because as much as we all hated the finale, and we all did. I mean, anybody who's sitting out there being like, I loved it, is a liar, right? It was still fine. It wasn't like, everybody thinks it was like the ending of Lost or whatever. Like, it wasn't that bad. It was a world-class show that ended with a dud instead of with a firework, like it should have, right? It was fine. It wasn't good. It was fine. It was the Applebee's steak of TV after you ate it like a five-star at a Michelin star restaurant for the first six seasons, right?
That's a great review for Applebee's there. Are you sure they're not hiring you?
They honestly, I would go work for Applebee's tomorrow if they'd have me. Anyway, so number one is Andor. Number two is the Game of Thrones. I would say, like, Game of Thrones and She-Hulk are very interchangeable for me. Just because I think the She-Hulk series is going to be non-serious. And I think the MCU could really use that.
Yeah.
It seems like they're going to be, like, breaking the fourth wall. It's going to be kind of funny. It's going to be like a half-hour comedy show. It's not going to rewrite the universe as we know it. It's not going to change the rules of time travel and all sorts of crazy shit. It's just going to be like a fun half-hour show that you can watch whenever you want, and you'll get a laugh at it. And you got your old buddy Bruce Banner in there, and that'll be a good time, right? And She-Hulk is going to fuck some dude, right? So, like, cool. Like, just like a fun little show, not too serious. I'm least excited for Lord of the Rings. I'm going to watch the shit out of it, but I'm least excited about it. I don't trust it.
Yeah. I think Game of Thrones has more to it. Maybe we could just each make one point and then move off of this, because we have lots of stuff to go over. Yep. But I think Game of Thrones is going to be more fun because they will really play off of all of the characters that amongst the family, the Targaryens. Yes. And I think at its best, Game of Thrones is like a political drama where you're trying to figure out who is trying to edge who out for supremacy. And given that it's going to be a family and not the entire kingdom, I think it's going to be really interesting to see. Lord of the Rings, I agree, the prequel is a bit rough, or at least the idea of a prequel. Yeah. But I mean, we'll have to see. Like, if Amazon's going to, Amazon has been building the show up for multiple years, and they've dedicated tons of money to it. So we'll have to see. I just think what made Lord of the Rings so good, the movies, was perfect casting. The fact that Peter Jackson was an absolute freak when it came to this movie. And like reread the books a bajillion times and brought the entire cast there to New Zealand and was like, we're going to film everything at once so that you guys are not going to leave. Like, he was just, the man dedicated an entire 10 years of his life to that project. And that's why it's so good. I don't know if it's going to correlate to the TV show. So we'll have to see. And then totally agree with She-Hulk. I think just given everything that's been going on, like Ms. Marvel could have just been more of like a teenage drama versus what it eventually became, because I wasn't really expecting any like universal consequences from the show. And it's unfortunate when they feel like they have to make it noteworthy, it's a shame because you're like, ah, all right, whatever at that point.
100% agree. We can leave it there. I feel pretty good about it. Lou, obviously we have the agenda for the show. Let me do a couple things to get us into our next point and start.
Go ahead.
Where you mentioned earlier that phase four has been a little bit dramatic. We now know phase four coming to a close with Black Panther Wakanda Forever. First, before we get there, we got to get through She-Hulk. But Lou, let me get your thoughts on phase four as a whole. And when we look at it back, we start all the way back while we were still kind of coming out of quarantine, man. We were all still at home.
Coming out of Endgame.
For a good portion of time. We're talking WandaVision, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Falcon Winter Soldier, Loki, Eternals. You had Hawkeye, Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, all Disney Plus shows. Then you had Spider-Man No Way Home, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, and Thor, Love and Thunder. It's been sprawling. Phase four has been everywhere. It's touched every corner of the universe that we've seen in the MCU. We know it's coming to a close, She-Hulk, then Wakanda Forever. I think we all agree that phase four lacked a bit of direction. I think we all agree that phase four lacked a little bit of build and construct, I think. And now here we are coming to a close in what is probably going to be one of the MCU's most emotional movies in Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Probably fairly controversial as well, depending on who you think should wear the suit, if you think someone should wear the suit, or if you think someone should, they just should have recasted Chadwick Boseman. And now we're getting there right after She-Hulk, but Lou, phase four is almost done. Now that we've been here for 3 fucking years, which is crazy, what are you thinking about it?
It's a good tee up. I'm happy you went through some of the past lineup, because I did as well. And what I found was a really interesting graphic from 2019. Ooh. On what some of the projects that were originally announced in phase four, probably akin to what we got with phase five and phase six, just like a lot of like pie in the sky, hey, this is coming, but sure, likely subject to the change. Some of these I thought were very interesting. Some of the ones that have stayed the same, we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 that remained intact. We had the promise of an Avengers movie with an X logo going through it, which I don't think is going to come to fruition during this phase based on what was recently announced. Originally, they were going to talk about Fantastic Four being introduced. However, that looks like it's going to be more of a, I think, end of phase five project, or to kick off phase five, one of those two. Here are the other ones, the ones that are not going to be made within this time frame and likely collapse into other projects. We had Warlock, which is now going to be part of Guardians of the Galaxy. He's going to be, Adam Warlock's going to be joining our favorite bunch of space hero characters. We had Nova, which seems like that is something that just sits on the back burner, kind of featured a little bit in the Guardian series. I think we're probably likely to see him featured in one of those movies instead of a standalone. We had Black Widow Leviathan. We had Doctor Strange and the Illuminati, which I guess we kind of got.
We kind of got
right?
it.
Got that. Multiverse Madness, obviously very different. We had the Mighty Thor, which is kind of on par, given that
it, the based on series. The comic. Yeah, yeah.
Love and Thunder, one of the best parts of the movie was the end when what is his name? Krog?
Korg, yes.
Korg, yeah. Korg was like, and that's why they called him Love and Thunder. And I was like, wow, it's so great.
Yeah, that was really okay. Cool. That was Black Panther, that was a tears.
Black Panther's Secret Empire, Captain Marvel and the Valkyries. We had Spider-Man Academy and Spider-Man Dimensions, in which we really got No Way Home. Yeah. And I guess Into the Spider-Verse, now going to be part two. The Wasp Escape, the Microverse.
I mean, Quantumania, right? Coming.
And then also Ant-Man versus the Masters of Evil.
Interesting.
So I guess those two things get collapsed. Now it's the introduction of Kang and then the Microverse, which is now the multiverse. All things to say. And then also the Thunderbolts, which actually had the Deadpool logo in the O. Folks that listen to this podcast likely very familiar with the fact that both Deadpool 1, 2, and Logan, the X-Men movie, were all added to Disney Plus. Kind of a big deal given that they're all rated R. So all things to be said. I feel like when I read all those names out of the proposed Phase 4 in 2019, sounded a bit more exciting. Obviously, sure. We got some more shows that came, actually. We got, Loki. We got the introduction of the new Captain America, also some Winter Soldier action. People really love him still. We got WandaVision, which is a fan favorite, and then all these new characters that come into play. I don't know about you. I felt like Phase 4 was very focused on the character, right? Like the hangover from the Infinity Saga. Now it's time to focus on the character story.
Yeah, you got to build again. You just got to build.
I've spoken a lot.
No, you're right. But you're right on. And I think I think people forget, 2008 was Iron Man 1. And Endgame was what, 2017? 2019, sorry. It's 11 years. It was 11 years it took them to get from the introduction of Tony Stark to the finale with Josh Brolin, what's his name, Thanos, from movie number one. Now,
yeah.
Over the course of that time, you had three solo Iron Man movies. You had three Captain America movies. You had two team-up movies before Infinity War. You had three Thor movies before Infinity War. You had two Guardians movies before that, two Ant-Man movies before that. A ton of fucking movies, right? 20, yeah. 24, right? We know how many there were, Ken. You don't need to tell us. There's a lot of movies in there, but you got to build it. And we talked about it when we started this podcast, right? There's no way you can redo the you can't redo the Infinity Saga. You're never going to be able to build like you were during the Infinity Saga because it's expected now. When you win the World Series, you win the Stanley Cup, you come out on opening day next year, you're expected to compete again.
Yeah, you're the defending champs.
You're the defending champ. You created Infinity War and Endgame over the course of 12 years, right? You're expected to be able to do that again. But what I think people forget is that the expectation level now is at Infinity War and Endgame, right? You don't get to build over 11 or 12 years. You need to hit me with Kang Dynasty 4 years, 5 years from now, right? You need to hit me with Secret Wars. You got to hit me with Secret Invasion and whatever, Thunderbolts, Young Avengers. You got to keep drumming them out. So yeah, the expectations are large. Phase 4 was a build. I didn't love it, but if you want to call it a rebuild, right? And I'm going to get into this analogy a little bit more when we start talking about Phase 5 and Phase 6. But I've come to the conclusion that I just take in the MCU as it's sports, as if it is sports. And if you want to count Phase 4 as a 2-3 year rebuild, where we got introduced to some new characters, we got some new IP, we had some fun along the way, and now we're coming out of the rebuild into a finale with Wakanda Forever, Jesus, with a finale with Wakanda Forever, and then Ant-Man Quantumania, and then we're going bananas throughout, you know, the rest of 2023, 2024. I'm cool with that. That's fine. But I think listen, not everything made a ton of sense. The rules are a little bit fucky at the moment. The characters are all fine. Nobody really stands out. But did, like, when you were watching the first Iron Man, were you like, this is a guy who is going to grow from, you know, super sexist, misogynist Tony Stark into, like, world-saving parent guy, right? Like, was that your expectation? No, it's about character growth, right? So, like, some characters kind of suck right now, and that's fine. They will grow as they, as their roles grow, as their character grows. That's the whole point of writing, right? That's why they don't just punch each other for 2 hours. That's why they talk and have decisions to make and things like that. So I think it's a little bit bananas, phase four. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't, like, super enjoyable, but neither was watching the Islanders from, like, 2008 to 2012, but I did it anyway. You know,
I think it's super important to also bring up that phase four was the introduction of Disney Plus shows.
Yes.
And that this is the first phase of any that we actually got this idea of six serialized stories where in the past everything was a movie. So if it takes a entire phase or 2 years to, you know, kind of flesh that out, fine. But you know what? Like, when Loki season two comes around, like, I think it's going to start paying dividends because it's going to be stories that you look forward to re-seeing and characters you want to, you know, be around again versus a whole new breath of fresh air sort of vibe here. So I think it's interesting. I think it'll be interesting to see the politics of Marvel and Disney over the next couple of years, given how much has come out around video, like FX. Like, every time something comes out, the Twitter mob jumps on all the little issues, and it's only part of the issues because people who actually work on these projects are speaking out a bit more. And I find it funny because a lot of them are, like, vendors and consultants that Marvel is hiring to do the video FX, and they have to work, like, 60, 80 hours, you know, a week to get these projects done because there's just so many of them. So it's not even like they're Marvel employees or, like, Disney, like Imagineers that are like, oh, we love, you know, Marvel movies. They're working at small little companies that are going to make or break by getting contracts from the likes of Disney and Marvel. So I think that's interesting to see how that plays out, just, you know, given working conditions and, like, do we need six TV shows and six movies in a year? Similar to that TikTok I showed you, it's basically the dialogue over Obi-Wan when, spoiler alert, when Obi-Wan and Darth Vader are having the final fight, and Obi-Wan is basically like, what have you become? And then the meme is that the what have you become is the Marvel Phase 4, and it has, like, eyes and mouth over it. And he's like, you created me, as, like, Darth Vader would say. But it's true. Everyone's insatiable demand of seeing every Marvel movie has spun out to, let me show you 12 projects a year across streaming and in the movie theaters. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much longer that can go. But it is looking like the end of this year and into next year with Quantumania and Black Panther might be something that we are used to more from the past.
And here's what I'll also say. Time. Here's what I'll also say, and we're about to get into Thor: Love and Thunder, so stay tuned if you are waiting for the Thor talk. I think just to close the loop on the Disney Plus side of things, Disney Plus was a huge investment from the folks down in the House of Mouse. The idea to put Marvel shows on that platform raised that profile significantly. And they had to do it with content that was going to matter, right? They had to make it things that you needed to see so that you would care about, you know, Loki season one, right? WandaVision was important because of Multiverse of Madness, right? All of these things are the introduction of Sam Wilson as Captain America, right? Leading into his next movie. Those are important shows that if you are an MCU fan, if you like MCU canon, you need to watch those shows. It's important for you to do so. However, what we saw with the reaction from What If and with the announcement of a What If season two, and now we know we're getting Marvel Zombies as well.
Which is R-rated.
Which is going to be fucking sick. I think they are tuning. I think they know how tough it is turning out as much content as they have. Obviously, they know how tough that is more than I do. But I think they also recognize the lack of significance in those shows and are going to start giving us more Daredevils, which is one show, 18 episodes, a real deep dive, right?
Yeah, no more. Crazy.
No more limited series, six episodes, rushed writing, rushed character development. They needed that. They had to build the platform. I get it. You got to do what you got to do. But I think they're real. I think there's a recognition there to say we thrive on the big screen. That's where we need to introduce, you know, big new characters and big new stories. However, we can use this platform for the cult level stuff, right? I mean, Daredevil fans are like cultists at this point in time. But like, you can really deep dive 18 episodes with Charlie Cox, right? You can get 18 episodes of a What If, you know, thrown in there, et cetera, and then use the big screen for the big stuff. I think that's where they're headed. But lest us forget that we didn't know if we were going to be allowed to go back to the movies for a while. It's really difficult for me to judge Phase 4, man. I mean, people, it's easy to forget now because I think we all want to and all have a major psychological issue that we should all be talking to therapists about blocking out probably the last 2 years as individuals. But they happened, and nobody knew if we were going to be able to live in the movie theaters like we did. And you want to talk about a waste of money, spending the money that like a Marvel and a Sony did on No Way Home, and then you having to watch it on your fucking dumbass pullout couch is not worth their time. So
yeah,
who knew, you know?
Who knew? All fair. I think just to summarize that point, early Phase 4 was decided well before COVID, and I meant like from like the actual production standpoint of, okay, let's get this thing in motion. That stuff was decided had to deal with COVID. I would say then the year forward had to deal with the filming of during COVID. And then now we are only at a point now where like the world is, or at least the majority of the world is now open and available and people can go back to the movies. So this is the first time probably since Endgame where there is some momentum where they can say, okay, here's our plan and we're going to go forward there. So if you do really care about this type of stuff, then it seems like we have brighter skies ahead of us.
Yeah, absolutely, totally agreed. And let us not forget about all the scheduling changes that took place too. Like, we weren't supposed to get WandaVision first, but it came first, you know, and Falcon and Winter Soldier was rewritten like as they were editing the damn thing. Anyway, we'll leave it there. Phase 4 was a little bit of a mess. I like content. I want you to give it to me so I can watch it. Lou knows that I get mad when my favorite YouTube channels don't produce the content that I want to see at the time that I want to see it. And I feel bad, and I appreciate all the hard work you do, and I'm happy to support you financially if you do those things for me. But if you don't, like, I reserve the right to move on. So the fact that Marvel is giving me content, I'm not mad about it. We talked about going to the movies. We talked about going to the movies, Lou. Last time we went to the movies, I go a lot. But the last time we both went to the movies, we saw Thor: Love and Thunder, a movie that... for like a very odd reason, I think a lot of people were like critical of, which I didn't quite understand. I loved it. I normally leave Marvel movies and I go, that was a lot of fun. I liked it. And then I sit with it for a little bit and I go, actually, that really fucking sucked. Like, that was a waste of my time. I rewatched Multiverse of Madness, which was like one of my favorite movies leaving the theater. Rewatched it and was like, that was the most rushed 2.5 hours of my entire life. Like, my head is spinning right now on a rewatch. It was like, holy fuck, that was bananas. Still a lot of fun watching people like blow up and their brains explode inside their heads. That's cool. A plus on that. However, Thor: Love and Thunder, just like a fun movie, man. I've sat with it now for a couple weeks, and like, Chris Hemsworth continues to kill it in that role. He really like is Thor. I love that. The Guardians were not overshadowed or overshadowing. They had their time. They did their thing. It was lots of fun. See you later. Off they go for volume 3. Natalie Portman's back and as buff as ever. And everybody else, Valkyrie, Tessa Thompson continues to rock. Korg and Taika Waititi are awesome. And Christian Bale was the scariest motherfucker I've seen in quite a while.
Call the axe.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like his mouth. He's scary guy. He's a scary looking guy. Lou, a lot of fun. What'd you think?
I agree with you, and I think a theory that I might have is as these phase one characters continue to keep like compounding, right? The wheel keeps spinning. We get Iron Man 1, and we get Iron Man 2. Whoa, we get Iron Man 3. Wow. Then we get Infinity War and all these things. It's like this expectation of like every time I see these early people that the bar needs to keep rising and rising and rising when we all forget how bad Thor Dark World was. So not every movie needs to be, you know, the equivalent of No Way Home, which was a huge mega project that involved all three of the universes coming together and all of the villains as well. So I agree with you. I thought the word fun is a good way to describe Thor Love and Thunder. A couple of critiques that go more so on the side of just be a bit more critical from your perspective. But I thought some of the writing didn't make sense. Like some of the lines were really rough. Like it was a lot of like Chris Hemsworth, to your point, being Thor. But Natalie Portman is not Jane Foster. She was always a supportive character. And I felt like the movie tried to lean on a lot of these moments where Thor would be like, come on, let's go in Thor language. And then Natalie Portman was like, great, let's go team. And then it was just like, ooh, that took me out of the moment there. Tessa Thompson is Valkyrie. Korg is Taika Waititi, who is electronically created. So, but I'm also fine with it. I just think like Natalie Portman did not have the best showing, and a lot of the movie was supposed to be about her, but so many other aspects of the movie overshined her because of just how great those people are. Like full stop, Christian Bale is one of my favorite actors from Batman to like all of the movies he's ever been in. The man is just like deeply immersed in the character and is great. Like I think top performance from villain. I would put him number two, like up to Josh Brolin as Thanos. So overall, I thought it was great. But I also understand why some people might feel a little bit, hairy about it.
Yeah, I wonder where I'm actually now. I'm interested in the tomato meter. I know the tomato meter doesn't give you everything
it's the best we got.
Let's take a look at the old tomato meter. Yeah, it's like the critics don't like it, but that's nobody gives a shit. And like an 80% audience score, which I think
that's
is totally
fine,
totally kosher. Fine. Yep. And I also think like, what would you expect from like a Thor solo movie, right? Did you expect what could you have expected? I think expectations are important to remember in these types of movies that are like solo driven. Like, did you expect it to be Titanic, because that was stupid of you, you know?
Yeah, that's like the next Avatar.
That's a dumb expectation. So yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought you're right, Lou. I think we texted about this the day that you saw it. Like the dialogue was a little rough. I've seen a lot of Taika Waititi properties now, and I love them all. What We Do in the Shadows is the on FX rocks. Our Flag Means Death on HBO also rocks. And obviously both his Thor movies are sick. The dialogue felt weird to me. It didn't feel like he did a lot of it for like Portman. And I'm not sure if maybe she just didn't like jive with it or whatever. I mean, she seemed excited to be in the movie and he seemed excited to work with her. But the dialogue was weird. A lot of the time, which did take me out of it a couple times. But the whole thing was fun. And I do love this idea now that I watched this Taika Waititi interview. I love the idea that some directors just do things to fuck with the next director that has to pick up with certain characters. And he said, Taika Waititi said like at one point, like I put the goats in the movie so that like the Guardians of the Galaxy guys would have to deal with the fucking goats at some point. Like James Gunn has to deal with a goat now. Like that's just part of the thing. He has to write.
But those are probably the two best directors in the MCU being Gunn and Taika.
Well, interesting you say that, Lou, because we're going to transition here to somebody who I think is probably the top. Boy, I'll put him in top three just because I can't decide on everybody just yet. But Ryan Coogler, Black Panther. Wakanda Forever.
Some Long Island accent almost kicked
in. Yeah, Black Panther.
Black Panther,
Wakanda Forever. Due out shortly, man. We're talking November.
Or you know it.
We're a couple months out. The trailer.
Best trailer probably ever to hit movie ever.
Yes.
Best correct. Trailer ever.
Correct. And Lou, I was going to say the Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer, probably the best project in Phase 4.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll have to see. Okay, well, let's talk about the trailer first. The trailer from like a creative perspective was the best trailer I think we have ever seen from like start to finish, full stop. Like the transition of the music and the meaning behind it and all the emotion that goes behind it, I thought was just absolutely incredible, which is why it blew up in social media versus like, oh, look, new Thor movie. Like, it did not need to be that good.
No.
It did not need to be that well scripted. It did not need to be like its own story in itself, where there was just so much to unpack.
What's the last Marvel trailer that you can think of that nothing got, where nothing was given away?
Spider-Man No Way
Home. Right? And
because they didn't want to show anything.
Because they barely even released that damn trailer. You know what I mean? Like, what an incredible piece of art that trailer is, honestly. Like, the colors look fucking wild.
Yeah.
Every set piece looks incredible. The music is on point, as you talked about. The acting just seems so powerful. And the part of the problem is a lot of that stuff probably isn't acting, right? Like, a lot of those guys are really feeling it during a lot of those scenes.
That's
sure.
The thing I wanted to bring up too. It's, are we commercializing the death of a human being that was supposed to be pivotal in this movie? Are we commercializing his passing for this movie? I just hope the message doesn't get passed over and that there's, you know, a greater.
Yeah. I mean, what I'll say to that, I think it's like a really great point to bring up. And I think it's one that everybody should be conscious of when we start to take in Black Panther, the new one, I should say.
This isn't Iron Man dying. This is
right.
A real, like,
right. And I think person. It's important to connect with that and to remember that as we see the movie and we start to see, you know, breakdowns of it and theories of it and all sorts of stuff. But what I will say is that Chadwick Boseman loved that character, right? Like, he embodied the Black Panther character, and the T'Challa character, I should say. And it is going to be powerful to see how much people in that universe, right? People within that production team and the other actors and actresses who worked on that project, as well as Ryan Coogler and whomever else. But like, I think there's some real truth to the story that they're telling about, like, the ancestral plane and some of the, like, the more like cultural stuff of his passing, I think is real. And yes, people are going to make a lot of money off of it, but they're not making that. I mean, the movie was coming out regardless, you know, which gets me to my point. And to be totally honest, Lou and I are two straight white men and do not get to dictate opinion on this topic, but I do think it's an interesting question, Lou, and I'm going to ask it.
I wanted to say all of that, but go on.
Sorry, man.
I had a point too, but go on.
Oh, go ahead. Do you got something else?
No. The only thing I was going to add just before you get to that point, let's revisit that.
It's in the parking lot.
There is, I think, a very clear distinction between like culturally celebrated movies within the MCU. And then normal, let's face it, white people like in the street that are like, you know, doing Captain America like stuff.
Yes.
And I think when you have movies like Shang-Chi, Black Panther, Ms. Marvel, it is such a breath of fresh air and it is so well done, mainly from the perspective of the individuals working on the project are from the ethnicity and they want to, you know, ensure that it's well treated. But it just feels like such a more richer experience,
authentic
to consume, authentic. When Kamala is going to India and they're going to like historically like celebrated venues and stuff like that. So I just really applaud when these things do happen, and it's unfortunate that there are people that, you know, don't see the same and they just want, you know, Captain America, you know, white man saves the day. So that's the only thing I'll add. I think like just when there is cultural celebration and that there are no white faces in the movie, it's really, it's a breath of fresh air and it should be celebrated more.
Bingo, buddy. Bingo.
So go on to your point.
Yeah, the question I was going to ask, it was the death of Chadwick Boseman, like, shocked the majority of the world. Like, nobody knew that this was going to happen.
Brian Coogler didn't know.
Exactly. He had to rewrite most of the movie. You know, like, when the news first broke, and obviously people's first reaction is, like, people's connection to Chadwick Boseman is through his acting, right? Like, that's what he does. That's how he connects to you and I and to other folks in the community.
Yeah.
So people's first reaction is, man, I hope they don't recast T'Challa, right? Chadwick Boseman is T'Challa. I would be upset if they recast him. That's the reaction at first. Now here we are 2 years later, and there's been some, I've read some think pieces, I've read a lot on Twitter, and then there's been some articles as well, where people are a little upset at this point in time, now that the emotion has kind of not come out of it, but now that the emotion isn't as high, the emotion level isn't as high as it was when the news first broke, that they are not going to recast T'Challa. People are calling for that to have been the play instead. I don't think there's any way you could do that. But I'm interested.
I don't know. I'll take the other side.
Yeah.
I think they might. And I think if they were going to recast them, that the trailer is not the time to like touch on that.
No.
I think the movie will be clearly carved out as part one, saying goodbye to not only an individual, but somebody who did take on the character. Part two will be the struggle that everyone has to face with this person gone and this new acquisition, this new addition of Atlantis and Namor and this whole new character that gets added into it. And then I predict that in part three, we will see a new individual rise to be the new Black Panther. And that will be the person that they roll with going forward, because Black Panther needs to be pivotal to the future stories of the MCU, just like he is in the comic books. I do not think Shuri will be the call here. But I do think there will be another person that will take on the mantle. And I do not blame anyone who's involved in this project for not bringing attention to that at this point, because I don't think it's necessary. I think it's very raw and emotional and sensitive, but the image that you're looking to retain is of the actor, and I think less of the character. The character is a masked person, and to my knowledge, can be anyone, because it's just a suit. So I think there is a very tasteful way where you can continue to honor who the original person was forever and ever, but also from an entertainment perspective, have a new person and a new voice embody their own attributes and personality while consistently paying homage to who came before them.
Interesting.
What say you?
I'm my question to you is, do you think we are getting a multiversal T'Challa to come into Earth 616 to be the new T'Challa, not new Black Panther, but the new actual T'Challa?
I don't know. Maybe. I just think that, like, it makes sense for them to recast him, but it doesn't make sense to tell everyone they're doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had this incredible trailer. They could reuse everybody, and then the addition of the new bad guy. Like, why tell everyone, oh, by the way, we're also recasting him? Like, I think it could be one of those conversations where it comes out, and then Brian Coogler has the interview where it's like, this was the hardest decision of my life, and we did it for, like, the betterment of the story, and, like, the person that is involved is, you know, on par with what's going on, and everyone is supportive of it. I just wouldn't be surprised. I also wouldn't be surprised if they just casted his sister as, you know, the new Black Panther. You know, we'll have to see. But I just wouldn't be surprised if they end up changing the character, but they don't announce it until the movie actually comes out. So,
do you think this movie... Last question on Black Panther. We've got plenty more to talk about. I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be obviously the best project in Phase 4, which is not a difficult bar to lift. But also, probably one of the films that we regard as, like, top in the MCU, like, alongside, you know, people love fucking Captain America, Winter Soldier, and, like, you know, Infinity War and then Ragnarok and those types of movies. Right now, Black Panther, the original, is the sixth highest grossing a Marvel movie of all time at $1.3 billion. Above it is Age of Ultron at $1.4. Above that is the original Avengers at $1.5. And then Spider-Man No Way Home is in the top three at $1.9, almost $2 billion globally. Do you think we get over $2 billion with Black Panther? Wakanda Forever?
I think so.
I think so.
Mainly because of just everyone who's involved, from like the director to all the actors. I think so. It has such a cultural standing that like the first movie had that I think is hard to replicate with just other projects. Like what I'm basically trying to say is like it's very challenging to make people give a shit about comic book movies more than just big thing blew up, bad guy got punched. And absolutely, when that happens, it's very, it just takes off. Like having all the Spider-Men together makes people care. It just takes off. Having an entire 12-year project of 20 movies come to a conclusion just takes off. Having a cultural movie where every character is, you know, African-American and, or I guess just has black skin and is written by a black director and just takes off. That hits too. Like all of these resonate. You got to wonder like what would happen with Shang-Chi if it were not for that being like, I think the first movie after the movie theaters really opened up after COVID, if it was just completely normal times, like how much more momentum that might've had. I don't know, but yeah, I think it will be a big one. Do you agree or disagree?
I 100% agree. I think we're talking top three, maybe top two.
Yeah. Infinity and Endgame.
Me too.
But let's move on. We still got more.
We'll see. Lou, ready? I'm going to try and rattle this. That's the end of Phase 4. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. We call Phase 4 done, and we all wash our hands of it and pick up the best parts and leave the rest of it behind. But after that, we go to February 2023. And you ready, Lou? I'm going to try and do this all in one breath. Ready? This goes from February 2023 through May 2024. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, Secret Invasion, Guardian of the Galaxy Volume 3, Echo, Loki Season 2, The Marvels, Blade, Ironheart, Agatha, Coven of Chaos, Daredevil, Born Again, and Captain America, New World Order in a year and a half. A lot of that on Disney Plus. We're talking Secret Invasion Disney Plus, which I still think is going to be really, really fun. We've got Echo Disney Plus, Ironheart Disney Plus, Daredevil Born Again Disney Plus, Agatha House, Coven of Chaos Disney Plus, Loki Disney Plus. Only four theatrical releases there: Quantumania, Guardians, The Marvels, Blade, and Captain America New World Order. So five of the 11, five of the 11 theatrical, the others on Disney Plus. Phase five seems full. I wish I knew where it was. Obviously, we know it's going because phase six, we know we've got Fantastic Four. We've got Avengers Kang Dynasty and Avengers Secret Wars. We know that's where we're headed in a Kang world. We get that. But Lou, how does this all tie together?
We're missing the X-Men at some point. They're coming.
You think?
They have to.
You think they're going to sneak it into phase five?
I think that's why there was a lot of those gaps. I don't know if phase five, but they could sprinkle in characters along the way. And then
there
have...
seems on this graphic here, let me share with you this graphic, which was the Comic-Con graphic. Everybody's seen it. I don't have like any secret graphics, but you know, people that work at Marvel and people that work at Disney don't make mistakes, right? We can agree on that, especially at something as significant as a Comic-Con or a D23, right?
What are you trying to say here?
I'm just, Lou, I'm looking at the graphic and I'm saying there's an empty slot.
Well, in phase six, there was lots of empty slots.
In phase six, there are, but look at phase five. Look at the bottom right corner and tell me they're not missing a thing.
I don't know.
You would spread that out if you were any sort of presentation specialist, and there wasn't something that belonged on the bottom right. you would spread out all those titles so that they were even across the bottom.
Maybe.
That's all
I'm saying. I don't know. Well, so in 2023, we're projected to get the Wolverine video game, which I feel like will be pretty instrumental to the whole X-Men reboot. I don't think it'll tell us anything, but I think it will be part of the overall marketing effort. So I would expect some more mutant engagement as Phase 5 unfolds. As far as all of these dates are concerned, what you are showing me right here, I say we will see. We will see what comes out and what doesn't and what gets pushed. How much do you love the Captain America title name? I love it. New World Order.
That I feel for Anthony Mackie because Sebastian Stan, because Falcon Winter Soldier was bad.
Yeah,
and we all kind of agree on that. And it was unfortunate because it didn't deserve to be bad. It deserved way more love, and it deserved a lot more attention and a lot more care than it was given. This movie has all the makings of, like, this could be really frigging cool, you know? Yeah.
I think Phase 5, just looking at it right now, I mean, also with Phase 4, there was some of these projects where I thought, oh, Multiverse of Madness, oh my god. I'm trying to think of what else, to be honest. Shang-Chi, I think, and the Eternals, I think I had late excitement for.
You were big on the Eternals at
first. I know, leading up. But then afterwards, I was like, oh my god, who signed off on this 2.5-hour movie?
Yeah.
That is probably how I feel. So, like, with those projects, I look at this Phase 5 snapshot, and I know Ant-Man and the Wasp is going to be some good quality stuff. Guardians is going to be good stuff. Captain America is going to be good stuff. And the Marvels will probably be that, but I think the other characters that are now going to be introduced, like Kamala Khan and trying to think
Maria Rambeau.
Yeah, Maria Rambeau. That will edge out some of the hatred that you saw in the regular Captain Marvel.
Fingers crossed.
What I'm getting at is the remaining of the projects are going to be Disney Plus shows, and I think that's very appropriate, and I think that's totally fine. Like, expectations are aligned, and I'm ready to see how this all plays out, because I think, yeah, it's just easier to set expectations across the show versus in a movie.
What do you think about, are you, like, this stuff is, we talk about it all the time, this stuff is still fairly new to us. I remember seeing Blade when I was a kid, the Wesley Snipes version. I don't remember anything about it other than it happened.
Yeah,
I think that's one that I'm just excited for from like a cult movie fan perspective.
Yeah, it should be fun. I mean, we'll get Mahershala Ali, so that's some good, celebrity actor injected into the fold. Overall, I just think, this is going to be a well-paced out phase, and then Phase 6, I think, is going to be heavy in big projects, big Jonathan Majors, a lot of, I could see one X-Men movie along with the one Fantastic Four movie, and then a TV show or two across those two. And so, I think what this is getting at is phase, after that, it'll just be all right, less core Avengers from Phase 1 through 4, more X-Men, Fantastic Four. If I'm in the executive room with Kevin Feige, I say, how do we recreate the same magic we did leading up to Infinity War, but with Fantastic Four and the X-Men? So let's give that some time. This is like having LeBron James, and then you get a new superstar who's 22, and you're saying, we're going to be fine, but once he's done, we have someone waiting in the wings, and that's going to be X-Men Fantastic Four.
Yep. Luke, question. Obviously, we know we know we're going to Kang, right? Kang is the Jonathan Majors, is the Shohei Ohtani of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Do you think, how many of these properties do you think he's showing up in?
I think a lot of them, because he plays 8 different characters. I think it would be interesting to see what the Kang Dynasty movie is and what everyone's expectations are. Because
what are you hoping for Kang Dynasty? Because it's such a fascinating thing.
Yeah, for sure. I want to see him across time periods. I want to see a self-conflicted version of Kang that is going from time period to time period and is interacting with all these Phase 4 and, you know, prior characters throughout that time period.
Yes.
And I think that would be really cool, given this, like, whole multiversal spin. And then it's, like, how that character played into, like, basically just telling the backstory of Kang, similar to how we got the backstory of Thanos in Infinity War. Yes. And then I think the Secret Wars is going to be that big payoff, like, Endgame, because we'll know both of the stories, and it'll be able to make a lot of sense. Be interesting to see what Marvel does, because in Secret Wars, they are really relying on a lot of characters that have not come into the fold, or belong to Sony, or have been dead, or look like Joe Biden now. So how they bring all those people back will be really interesting to see.
I think Secret Wars is such a fascinating project. We know, I forget his name off the top of my head, and I apologize because that is incredibly rude, and I could just look it up. And I don't know why I didn't do it before I started.
I think it's going to be two phases. I would be shocked if they fit.
I think it's fascinating that they named Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars back to back. I think that is fascinating. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think there's going to be an in between.
2025.
Yeah. So the director, we know that Destin Daniel Cretton.
Yep, from Shang-Chi.
From Shang-Chi is Dynasty. Going to direct the Kang Dynasty. That's exciting. Another new face, another non-me looking nerd to do it, which is exciting.
Not John Favreau.
No offense, John. We love you, man. But, you know, leave it. Cool. Fun stuff. Definitely plenty of fun on the Marvel front. And as always, we are here to cover it for you.
Ken, let's burn through all of this crap.
I was just going to hit it.
We still got the boys, and we still got other stuff, unless you want to pick up on another time.
Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh.
How about we do a speed round? Let's look at the agenda that we have.
So we've got boys, Stranger Things.
Well, hold on. Miss Marvel, give me your one take.
One take, Miss Marvel. Really good. Love Iman Vellani. I wish she would get, like, a little bit of a vocal coach, because she's mumbling a little bit.
This is her first acting job.
I know. I get it. That's all I'm saying.
Right, what about the other characters in it?
Bruno is like every high school musical, the musical character that I've ever seen. Kamala's family rocked. Everybody rocked. The cousin, I forget her name, she rocked. The imam of the mosque, he was so cool and so funny. Just really, just like a really fun setting. The grandmother rocked. All the characters rocked. Iman Vellani, I think, is going to be a superstar on the MCU team for a long time coming. She loves the lore of the MCU too, which is really cool. It's fun to have a nerd in the nerd sphere. She's going to be an absolute superstar, and it's very exciting.
Okay, Obi-Wan, final thoughts.
Sure.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Would have been better as a movie, because it was basically that's how it was called out. Stranger Things, thoughts on volume 2, thoughts on them making the decision to edit a past episode because they're going to be filling in a plot hole, and then thoughts on the final season, which will be season 5 in the next decade or so, I guess, whenever they want
to. Yeah, whenever they get the chance to get Millie Bobby Brown back. Okay, first, volume 2 was awesome. The characters continue to rock. The storytelling continues to rock. The acting is phenomenal. The writing is phenomenal. I love it all. Very, very good. I do like that they lost. You know, you got to lose before you can win. I like that whole thing. I like that all of our characters I wish they didn't get together at the end. I was really liking that they were separate. I was hoping that they wouldn't come together, but still really moving to have them all get back in the same room together. Very, very fun. The fact that what's her name? Max. Devastating, heartbreaking. Hoping she's okay. Prayers for Max. She can run up that hill next season.
Everything's broken.
Oh God, she really got fucking cracked up, huh?
She got broken all over the place.
But yeah, ton of fun. Very excited for season 5 in 2029. when we get it. Thoughts on them editing the past episode? These things have happened forever. George Lucas has edited the Han Solo scene in the cantina like 18 times over the last 20 years. Do I love it? No. Is it his? Yes. If he gets a better idea, and like, as long as it's simple, you know, it can't be, you can't remove like two episodes. You know what I mean? I don't know where I'm going to draw the line. So don't come back at me and be like, yes, Ken, but where does it stop being simple? I don't know the answer to that. Do I really care though? No. Will it enhance the storytelling experience for these guys? Probably. So if that's the case, I say go for it. I wish nobody told me though. Like, that's what I wish. And then,
yeah,
you know, like, I just wish,
we got a New York Times article in like 2 years from now where it's like the one episode of Stranger Things has been updated. And you're like, what? And then everyone goes back and rewatches it.
Yes, that would be phenomenal. But I mean, it isn't like super cool. Like, I do wish that they wouldn't. But at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, they learned things in the last decade that they didn't know when season one came out. And they need to change it. So, fine. Whatever. I'm cool with it. I don't like it, but I'm cool with it. I just wish nobody would talk to me about it. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what it's like. Just don't tell
me. Fair points. My theory with Stranger Things season 5 is they're like, all right, here's our pitch. We're going to wait and let all the kids grow up. We're going to age everyone into the 90s. Then we are going to suffocate the millennial generation with 90s nostalgia. And they're going to cry every single episode in happiness.
Because if you give us Dunkaroos stupid and shit, Duffer Brothers, yeah, we're all gonna like freak that out.
It's gonna be just like cheap jokes that like they played with over the 80s about the 90s with cell phones and CD players and all these things, and they're gonna have a whole new breath of fresh air to like really ram this season through. And then I think it'll come to a nice closure. And then we will move on with our lives.
Wow. Luke, but the one thing I don't time like, travel. People seem to think that that's a thing.
Maybe. I don't know. The one thing I just don't like about Stranger Things is like how short lived it all is, because they just release all of it at once.
They have to reconsider putting it out weekly. They have to.
Or just two episodes at a time. Like, I loved Volume 2 and how there was just two episodes. And it made sense. It was the culmination. Yeah. It was the finale, basically.
I mean, I wish that they didn't put out two episodes that were the length of, like, a work week at the same time? No. I like that they made episodes that are long form? I don't care how long your episodes are going to be, but you can't put out 8 2-hour episodes at once.
Yeah, very frustrating, but more so just from the fan experience. Like, there's so many stupid little things that I decide to care about throughout my week when I can read an article about, oh, what's going to happen at the end of Loki. It's like, oh, I don't know. But there's like, that conversation just doesn't exist with Stranger Things because it all comes out at once. And it's crazy when there's only like one meme on TikTok of like the running up the hill. And then now it's over. Yes. And now people are doing the like, I think with David Harbour is like, you have to make choices here. There are, and then she's like, you are not purple, which I think is hysterical. But like, you can get more out of that if you release the show weekly. There will be a new meme and a new trend every single week, and your shareholders will be happy. So I just don't understand why you're going to continue to release all of it at once. It makes no sense.
I have no idea, man. I mean, they are a company that depends on you having so much sex that 8 seasons of the British Bake Off play while you have passed out post-coitus. That's it. That's their whole company model.
Great line there.
Go to sleep. That's it.
Let me feed you some final questions on The Boys, and then we'll wrap this up because Ken and I are working boys. And
we are. It's Friday. We got to go play. Lou, it's playtime.
Herogasm. You were a big fan of the eventual episode. Yeah. I believe it was the penultimate episode. What did you think? And did it live up to your expectations?
Yeah, it rocked. Everything about
that. What was your favorite part? What was your favorite part about Herogasm?
Favorite part about Hero Orgasm was probably everybody saying that Frenchie was going to be really mad that he wasn't there.
Yeah, like, I thought that he was like, "Oh man, I wish I was there."
Yeah, no, that's just so funny because every friend group's got that weird guy. We know one that would like kill himself to be at a Hero Orgasm, and you're like, you just know it. Like, it's funny. And I just like how much they know their boy. You know, they know their boy Frenchie wants to be at the Gasm.
Yeah.
Great episode, great season. We talked about it. I don't know how much further we can go as a show with Homelander as like the sole villain. Like, it's getting a little tired. So the fact that they've now just introduced a prepubescent racist pig is going to be phenomenal. I will say, like, the Trump isms are a little too on the nose sometimes.
Yeah.
And I wish that they were like a little bit more like behind a curtain, like you kind of got to search for the parallel instead of it being like right up front. But to my own criticism, I will say, eat shit, dude. That's the whole point of the boys. The boys is up and in your face, and that's the idea. So I will shut the F up and say that the season was phenomenal. The acting continues to be great. The editing, the fights are like otherworldly. Like, what was it? Huey and Butcher and Soldier Boy against Homelander was like probably the best superhero, supervillain fight that I've seen ever.
Yeah, I completely 100% agree. If anyone's still listening at this point, I want to make it known that I watched Hero Orgasm while on the Amtrak train.
Yeah, you're
and I was terrified.
Absolutely sick.
I watched the first few episodes, and then to be honest, I just really didn't. I think I was just burned out from like Star Wars and
there's a lot going on
MCU stuff. So I was like, I just can't watch these shows. There's too much going on. But then I powered through the final six within just two long distance train rides. Watched Hero Orgasm laying on the iPad, laying on a table. The screen brightness all the way down.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrified that someone was going to get up and see the tons of naked people and moaning that was in my ear, completely uncomfortable. But yeah, overall, just phenomenal. I think it's one of those great like superhero adaptation shows that's like a bit more adult. It has real consequences. The characters are excellent, and just overall, you know, with the boys, you're going to get consistent 8 to 8.5 IMDb's, and then you're going to get one episode that spikes, and that was Hero Orgasm this season, ranking in at 9.7. And that's just consistent. Every single season is either high sevens, low eights, and then they got that one episode. And I love that for them because they're basically loading up the show to a one point, and it's never the finale. And then they're like, that's it. That was the big point, and now we'll finish the story. And I think a lot of other shows can learn that lesson.
Yeah. And I'm not even going to say like the finale was fine. Like it was an 8, 8.5. Like it was.
Hero Orgasm was great.
Hero Orgasm rocked, you know.
Yeah.
No, that show rocks. It makes me yearn, Lewis. It makes me yearn for Invincible. When is season two of Invincible?
It's the animated style, I think, is what really delays it.
Yeah, and with that said, all of those things make me yearn for the first season of Marvel Zombies, which I think is going to be hilarious. Yeah. And
that will be interesting. Do you think it will be rated R because it will be like raunchy and from like a language perspective, a bit more mature? Or do you think they'll just be like blood and then Marvel's like Disney's like, well, we got to make it rated R then?
I think it's going to be I think Ant-Man will say fuck a bunch. And I think everybody's heads will get blown.
Well, it'd be like a Cartoon Network, like a raunchy, really adult family.
Yeah, like Adult Swim. I think we're talking like Adult Swim.
Yeah. Yeah, like a Robot Chicken, which I've never seen, but it's like that was the cartoon that was like rated M,
yes,
or rated R.
I think we're gonna get that.
Yeah, I think it skews more TV-14, and given that it's Disney, it's gonna be rated M.
Sure.
But we'll have to see. How it goes.
I hope I'm right. Who knows? I mean, even if it is just like a little bit more, like that's I think what like Marvel needs to lean in. This will be the last point I make on the show, is just needs to like be a little bit more, it needs to grow with its audience.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yep. I agree.
Lou, final words. How about this last thing, hanging up the phone, about to say goodbye to the people. Tell me what happens at the end of Black Panther.
We get a new Black Panther. A new actor enters the fold.
Okay.
A
new actor. So not Killmonger, not Shuri.
I don't know. I wonder if Killmonger, if like him being in What If so much, if that means anything. If they were just testing the waters out. I don't know how Shuri plays into all of this, because she doesn't like to play nice and get vaccinated, which...
I would be shocked. Honestly, I would be shocked if they were like, this idiot will get vaccinated. Also, let's make her Black Panther. I would be shocked. Yeah,
that adds to it as well. I just think while she is great and she is a great character, it just seems like there is a lot of friction behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Just objectively stating that, I don't know if, you know, like Chadwick Boseman was like a mountain figure, like someone you put on your Mount Rushmore along with like Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr., in my opinion. So I don't know if you take the actress that plays Shuri and you give her the same standard, which is why I think that we will get someone that is able to carry the torch, even if it is a Killmonger comes and saves the day and, you know, forgives his people. So maybe from the multiverse perspective, he comes back and he saves everyone. And he does one of those, like, I fucked up, but you know what? In my greatest moment of hardship, you know, T'Challa was there for me, and I will live up to his and honor him. And everyone's like, fine with me. It'd be great to have
Michael B. Jones back, right?
It'd be great to have him back in the MCU. I feel like he's,
not Michael B. Jones. I don't know who that is.
I feel like his stay was short-lived, so it would be good to see him back. And then overall, just looking to see, like, you know, a cool new story of Atlantis and underwater people and, you know, all that comes with that. So we'll have to see.
We'll leave it.
Likely, you know, you'll get us with the dummies maybe one more time before Black Panther. Maybe we'll do a She-Hulk, some Lord of the Rings, some
we're gonna have a lot's coming, so we got to make sure we pace ourselves.
We'll do
here
one of those, and then probably we'll come together again, which will be some time with Black Panther, because folks, we're just gonna slow down a bit.
And hopefully we'll have some of your favorites back soon. We know that, you know, there's a lot out there. So there's a lot of opinions and takes that we can take in. And folks, we do want to say thanks for listening. We always appreciate it. We will be back, like Lou said, probably one more time over the summer, but definitely after Black Panther as well. I mean, which is a couple of months away. So we will see you before then, more than likely. But until then, this has been the MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number one, Ken. That is dummy number two, Lou. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.